And next, a conversation with the Endangered Languages Project. We discuss their upcoming event on September 30th, as well as their work and activism in protecting endangered languages.
Thank you for tuning in once more to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, your favorite radio station. And this morning, we have very, very interesting people. We have Anna Blue, we have Saul, and Noel Morales from the Endangered Languages Project. Very, very interesting project, definitely. What about if you guys share with us the work that you do, educate our community about how important it is to do this work?
Sure. Thanks, Ender. It's great to be here today. So we at the Endangered Languages Project, we work to support the sustaining and nourishing of all of the world's indigenous and endangered languages. So just for reference, there are about 7,000 languages spoken on Earth today. Almost half of them are currently endangered, which means within the next couple of generations, they might be silenced. And this goes so much deeper than just words or grammar or anything like that. Language is really fundamental to culture, identity, history, and who people are as human beings. And so our work at the Endangered Languages Project is to make sure that Indigenous and minoritized communities around the world have the support, the resources, the connections they need to do this critical work to keep their languages strong.
Amazing. And on your about page on the website, it says very, very kind of crucially important statements, such as humanity today is facing a massive extinction. Languages are disappearing at an unprecedented pace. And when that happens, a unique vision of the world is lost. I think I know what you mean, but what do you mean when you say, or when we can say, that unique vision of the world is lost if we lose a language?
I think this is something Saul can speak to really beautifully. I'll pass it off to him.
All right, Saul.
Pues, Saul, están preguntando qué necesariamente estamos hablando cuando decimos que si las lenguas maternas mueren, ¿qué pasa que un versión del mundo también ya no existe? ¿Qué significa ese para los pueblos originarios? ¿Por qué es tan importante salvar nuestras lenguas?
La importancia de conservar nuestras lenguas se debe a que, como lo hemos dicho, hay personas mayores de nuestras comunidades que con el tiempo y al pasar de los años van falleciendo. Y cuando una persona fallece, pues se está perdiendo la costumbre, se está perdiendo o está falleciendo nuestra identidad, pero sobre todo se está muriendo nuestra lengua. ¿Por qué? Porque por mucho tiempo nuestra lengua estuvo desapercibida, estuvimos invisibilizados. Y hoy en día, pues, lo que nosotros hacemos como consejo es fortalecer, difundir y practicar nuestra lengua. ¿De qué manera? Fortaleciendo y buscando vínculos para poder capacitar a los compañeros para ser intérpretes indígenas. Debido a que la lengua de los pueblos o nuestra lengua materna es un derecho universal que tenemos como personas, como seres humanos. Así que es un derecho para poder acceder también a diferentes entornos, para poder conocer más lo que somos nosotros como pueblos indígenas. Por eso la importancia de no dejar que se muera nuestra lengua.
Thank you, Saul. So I'll just translate in English. For him, what this means when we say that part of a unique story disappears as well, is that when elders in the community die, they take stories, they take the language, and it dies with them. If it doesn't continue on to the next generation, if they don't hear those stories. And that's exactly what groups like the Consejo de los Pueblos Originarios does. They help promote the ability for indigenous language speakers to get access to those programs to be language interpreters, to have official paperwork so that they can continue telling those stories, so they can continue to speak up for the communities, these indigenous communities that have been silenced for such a long time and have not been able to tell their stories. And so work like this, keeping the language alive, allowing people to practice and allowing them to spread it to the next generation, keeps these stories alive of these elders.
That's amazing. And in terms of like specific languages that you are focusing on protecting, can you tell us about those languages and why those languages specifically?
Yeah, ELP's answer to this is really, really broad. We work with languages all over the world. That's about 3,600 languages that are currently considered endangered. So we're open to supporting communities anywhere who are working with any language. But Saul and Noel have a more focused scope.
We'd love to hear you. Saul, Noel.
Sure. I could answer this one. You know, Saul is a speaker of the Tunsavi language. It's a Mixteco language that is spoken in the Yubinani community, but we work with people from all across Latin America. We have folks who speak Nahuatl, who speak like Quiche, who speak different languages from Guatemala, different dialects of Maya, you know, and we value each and every single dialect of these languages because they're particular to their culture, and there's certain words and certain stories that have different meanings. And so we really focused on, you know, helping preserve the indigenous languages of Latin America at this moment.
Okay. Can you refresh kind of like specific languages? You mentioned a couple, but I think we might have missed them. I want our community to really kind of like take a grasp on these specific languages, where they're from. And again, a couple of reasons why. I mean, I think Saul gave us all the reasons why we have to protect them, but specifically, yeah, if we can just go back to that.
Briani, ¿puedo responder eso? Medio entendí un poco, te lo respondo en español y ya tú le dices en inglés.
Sí.
¿Vale?
Sí.
Específicamente estamos trabajando con el Tunsavi, que es más conocido como el Mixteco. Estamos trabajando con la nación Nahual y estamos trabajando con la nación Mepa, que son más conocidos como los Tlapanecos. Tenemos el Amuzgo, que son de la región de la Costa Chica de Guerrero, y tenemos el Quichua, que es de las compañeras de Ecuador, y tenemos el Quiché, que es de la compañera de Guatemala. Esas son las lenguas con las que hasta ahorita hemos estado vinculados, porque son las y los compañeros que han conocido el contexto del que viene haciendo el Consejo de los Pueblos Originarios. Por eso, al menos hasta ahorita, son las lenguas que alberga el Consejo para poder dar servicio como intérpretes indígenas.
Thank you, Saul. I'll give the specifics of the languages that we're currently working with and who are in our group. So Saul said the Tsunsavi language, also known as Mixteco. It is from the state of Guerrero, and is spoken in other sections of Mexico. Nahuatl, which is the largest indigenous language spoken in Mexico as well. And then there's Quiche, which is the language of a Mayan dialect from Guatemala, and as well as from the region of Guerrero, Mepa, also known as Tlapaneco, and that is from the same region in Guerrero, Mexico. And we also have friends from Ecuador who speak the language of Quechua.
Amazing. Yeah, I personally have heard many things about Quechua, and it's a language for some reason has been very close to me. It's the language of the people that built Machu Picchu, is that correct? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I just want to remind our audience that you're listening to KBOO Portland, and we're here with three fascinating people who are doing excellent work in this country: Anna Ballou, Noel Morales, and Saul Rivera from the Endangered Languages Project. And they've been talking to us about why it's important to protect languages such as Quechua from South America. And an ancient language, right? To go back 1,000 years or longer. Can you tell us a little bit more about your, the company itself? It's a nonprofit out of New York City. Is this what it is? Like how many? Tell us more about that part of the journey.
Yeah, so the Endangered Languages Project is a nonprofit based here in Oregon, although I say that loosely because our staff are literally all over the world. We have six staff members in five countries, so we're really, really international, but legally, here we are in Oregon. I live here in Portland. And so our work really is with Indigenous communities all over the world, helping them connect to resources, other people doing this work. Learning opportunities. So we host a lot of online classes. We create learning resources for how to do language revitalization. And most importantly, we provide sort of a community gathering space where folks can feel less isolated in this work, right? Protecting languages is very difficult, very lonely work a lot of the time. And it's often hard, especially in a lot of other countries, to find people who share this vision of a world where Indigenous languages are protected and thriving. And so our role is to get people together, to help them connect to each other, to learn from each other, to gather in solidarity. And really amazing things happen when Indigenous communities get together and share their knowledge and share their practices. And so one of the organizations that we're really, really lucky to work with is the Consejo de los Pueblos Originarios in New York, which Noel and Saul can tell us a little bit more about.
Pues Saúl está preguntando un poquito sobre quién somos como el Consejo de los Pueblos Originarios. Dile un poquito sobre dónde estamos, el trabajo que hacemos y cosas así.
Sí, primeramente, como lo mencionamos, nuestro movimiento social cultural es el Títoro Mico. Es un movimiento que alberga diferentes nacionalidades, lenguas y pues nace el Títoro Mico primeramente con la intención de desarrollar, de crear economía en nuestra comunidad de origen. Como sabes, somos de una comunidad muy marginada y es ahí donde nace la intención, ¿verdad? Y nace el colectivo, el movimiento Títoro Mico. A raíz de ello, ya conformándonos aquí en la ciudad de Nueva York, junto con nuestra comunidad de origen, pues estuvimos tratando de visibilizar, de desarrollar, practicar la cultura, pero en el COVID-19, justamente fue donde vimos, porque padecimos mucho el tema de pues cómo golpeó la pandemia, ¿no? Sobre todo a nuestras comunidades, las indígenas, que son las más marginadas y olvidadas. Entonces, es ahí donde consideramos y vimos la necesario crear una figura jurídica, una figura jurídica que recabe las problemáticas que sufrimos nosotros como pueblos indígenas y poder llevarlas ante las dependencias correspondientes, como son las autoridades, instituciones, para poder solventar y ayudar a nuestra comunidad un poco en lo que padecían. Como tú sabes, Noel, he platicado en ocasiones anteriores que en el COVID-19, pues descubrimos que muchos paisanos, pues no estaban en la lista o no se habían sacado una identificación. Entonces, prácticamente y hasta en la actualidad, muchos hermanos indígenas siguen viviendo bajo las sombras. Entonces, a raíz de eso es que nace el consejo, se está caminando para crearla una non-profit, ¿no? Para poder llegar a más comunidades que sepan que estamos aquí, que sepan que los pueblos indígenas también tenemos oportunidades de poder desarrollarnos, de poder crecer también como personas en esta ciudad que pues nos ha abierto la puerta para poder darle una mejor vida a nuestras familias.
Thank you, Saul. So I'll just translate. He says that so originally Saul is from the social culture movement from his community, which is called Titrómico. Originally, it was to help him and his community of Yubinani and Guerrero have some voice as well as income and bring it back into the community and help his community. But over the course of the pandemic, and realizing how many other indigenous folks were suffering because they were invisible. They came over here as migrants and unfortunately did not have an identity, did not have papers, and had no way of bringing back an identity for themselves and being able to, even when they were to pass away, like getting their bodies back to their home communities. There was a realization that there needed to be a larger voice for the indigenous migrant community here in New York. And so that's where the beginning of the Consejo de los Pueblos Originarios started. And we are currently on our way to making the Consejo a nonprofit organization so that we can reach a larger audience of the indigenous migrant community and help them in order to help get their voices out there and help them politically in order to help visualize them in the community.
Yeah, and that consejo that would translate to kind of like a council or a first people's council, kind of.
Yes, it would be the Council of the Original People. In Spanish, we say pueblos originarios because the original pueblos is what how we refer to indigenous people.
Fascinating. And again, we are here with Anna Blue, Noel Morales, and Saul Rivera from the Endangered Languages Project, we just found out it's headquartered here in Portland, Oregon. Hooray. Another good reason to feel proud to live in this place. And we're talking to also Saul and Noel, who are part of the project, who are now in New York City, part of the, your expanding work. And good thing that a lot of our listenership list. You know, they're Spanish-speaking people, so this interview is gonna work perfect for our listenership. It's not gonna be a problem. And can you share with us some past work that you can highlight that, okay, we accomplished this event, we brought all these people in. If you can share a little bit of people that have helped your journey, donors, things that have helped you grow your work, and things you have accomplished.
Yeah. Well, first off, I want to give a big shout out to the First Peoples Cultural Foundation up in British Columbia, Canada, who are, with their support, we are actually putting on an event next Monday, September 30th, which is International Translation Day. And this event is called Building Community Networks of Dignity and Solidarity. Indigenous Language Interpretation is a Human Right. And so we're really excited about this upcoming event. We would love to invite all of our listeners to join us. This will be a panel of four grassroots Indigenous-led organizations who are providing this incredibly important and critical service of language access and interpretation for Indigenous communities here in the US. But some other past events that ELP is really proud of would be currently, we are in the United Nations International Decade of Indigenous Languages. Just in case anybody didn't know, it's not just us who think Indigenous languages are important. The United Nations totally agrees. And so, to kick off the decade, which runs from 2022 to 2032, the Endangered Languages Project hosted the Festival of Indigenous Languages in 2022. And this brought together 20 Indigenous language leaders from around the world to give really casual, informal talks about the past 10 years of their work to keep their languages alive and thriving, and what they hope for the next 10 years for their communities and for other communities around the world. And this featured some folks who, if you're in this space, superstars like Dr. Larry Kimura at the University of Hawaii, who sort of kicked off the Hawaiian language revitalization movement back in the 80s, Dr. Lorna Wanosa-Williams, who has done the same thing for First Languages, First Nations languages up in British Columbia and in Canada more broadly. And so those talks are meant to be really accessible to just everybody in the public. If you want to learn about why Indigenous languages are so important to their communities and to the broader world, you can check out those talks on our YouTube channel. Our YouTube username is Endangered Languages Project. Definitely go check those out. You will be inspired and moved and educated by what these Indigenous language leaders have to share. There's a lot of other stuff we've done, but we just want to give a really big thanks, most importantly, to the communities we work with, right? Our donors, our supporters, our institutional partners, we love them. But none of this could happen without the people doing this work on the ground in their communities every single day. This is work that has its heart at the grassroots, and we're just humbled to be able to work with folks like Noel and Saul.
That's wonderful. And can you remind our audience how to get involved with you through a website, however it is that they can get involved with your work?
Definitely. Check out our website at endangeredlanguages.com. We welcome donations, obviously, but also volunteers. If you are passionate about getting involved in this work at the international level, check out our website. Write to us at feedback@endangeredlanguages.com. Follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We're not really so much on X anymore, but just search Endangered Languages Project. And we're always posting upcoming events, ways to get involved, and just interesting things to learn about Indigenous language work happening all over the world.
That's wonderful. And can you remind us again about this upcoming event on the 30th? And what it's about, what is it about, what you hope to accomplish there? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So September 30th is International Translation Day, and we thought this would be a good time to highlight the work done by Indigenous language interpretation organizations across the US who are working with Indigenous migrant communities who, like Saul and Noel have been mentioning, are often overlooked or invisibilized, not only in language access, but in broader society. And we also thought that, you know, it's an election cycle in a climate with incredibly hostile anti-immigration rhetoric going around. It's a dangerous time, not only for all immigrant communities, but especially for Indigenous migrant communities who often don't have access to the kind of services and resources that communities who speak a dominant or colonial language might have access to. And so we really just wanted to foreground the work of folks providing Indigenous language interpretation and supporting Indigenous immigrant communities in the US. So we really hope the public will tune in not only to learn more about why this work is so valuable and so meaningful, but also to be moved to hear things that you rarely get a chance to hear about in the media or elsewhere. And we also want to give a big thanks to KBOO for shining a light on this topic, because these voices and these stories are often really ignored and invisibilized. And so if you come to this panel on Monday, we guarantee you're going to hear some conversations you've probably never heard before, learn things that are new to you. I can't promise that you will cry a little bit, but you might. Expect to be moved and expect to learn something and expect to get excited that you could be involved in this movement to provide services and language access and human rights to Indigenous communities across the US. Saul, Noel, what do you want people to know about Monday's event?
Saul, ¿quieres saber qué tú quieres que la gente sabe sobre el evento este lunes?
Pues más que nada, me gustaría mucho que la gente pueda acudir a ver, a concientizarse y a entender cuál es la lucha que llevamos haciendo como pueblos originarios, cuáles son las necesidades que padecemos en nuestras comunidades, pero sobre todo a concientizarnos que como personas, que como equipo, que como colectivo, podemos fortalecernos más, que somos más fuertes, que tenemos mucha ventaja y tal vez podemos llegar más lejos, pero sobre todo que las personas que hablan una lengua se concienticen, se sumen y fortalezcan todo este proyecto de la interpretación indígena para que nuestras lenguas originarias nunca mueran. Muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias, Saul, and for all of our English language speakers. Saul says that what he wants people to gather from this event is that when we as Indigenous people work together, we are able to elevate our voice and able to promote the type of social work that we have been doing, the types of things that we are fighting for currently as Indigenous people for their rights. And he wants people to continue to know that we're here fighting for our language rights and for the visibility of our community. Thank you.
Well, that's wonderful. Your event on the 30th is an online event, right? And it's free and it's a public forum. And can you remind us again how to get to the event?
Absolutely. You can register for free at bit.ly/indigenousinterpretation.
Okay. All right, you got it. You got it. And we've been talking to three fascinating people, Anna Ballou, Noel Morales, and Saul Rivera from the Endangered Languages Project. They're working hard to protect languages, especially, well, in a world. And that was my last question for you is that how do you feel about the response from people? Because there seems to be, obviously, we're a very divided nation right now, very much divided. It's one side, just we can't be on the same. It's hard to find a common ground when we believe completely different things. But do you feel that there is support that like people are for the most part, there's progressive people, educated people that understand how important it is to re-indigenize a little bit, to get away from this whole colonizing mindset, that we can all work together. Do you think it has this been true in your journey with your work?
That's a great question. I say one of the things that gives me a lot of hope is just even over the last 10 years, the number of people who understand the critical importance of Indigenous languages and cultures and rights has grown so much and it's still growing. People are really starting to understand how important this is and that everybody, Indigenous, non-Indigenous, can play a part in this movement to strengthen, protect, and uphold Indigenous language rights. And so, yeah, people get it and they're getting it more and more. And I know Portland's special. People here especially get it. But across the country and even globally, I think public awareness and support is there and it's growing. And that's amazing to see.
That's wonderful. It's been so wonderful to speak to you guys. Well, we want to thank you so much. Again, we were talking to Anna Ballou, Noel Morales, and Saul Rivera from the Endangered Languages Project. They were talking to us about their amazing work and their upcoming event on September 30th. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much, Ender. It
Thank
was a
you for having us.
pleasure.
Thank you.
This conversation was facilitated by Ender Black, Director of Public Affairs.